This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
From the WEEI Studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of Afternoons with Arcane and Heart is brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing, the official roofing partner of the Boston Celtics. Act now and save 10% during their Fall Into Savings sales event.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Afternoons with Arcane and Heart on WEEI.
43 shots on goal for the Blues. They have a strong period. A team that was minus 12 goal differential in third periods won the third period 3-0.
I loved our effort. Our execution offensively was really good. We have some areas to improve upon, but just the effort and how hard they played for each other to block shots, the togetherness at the end of the second, you know, how we stuck up for each other. That's Blues hockey. That's blue collar hockey.
Not often that we're playing St. Louis Blues highlights here on WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, nice to have you with us here. Dan Ball making his debut back behind the glass. You'll hear him on Trending in about 10 minutes. That was the first win of the Jim Montgomery era in St. Louis, and it was a decisive win, 5-2 over the Rangers, who were a good team this year, as Montgomery, in a whirlwind 5 days, was able to get fired from the Bruins and then hired by the Blues, who fired their own coach, to bring him in the shortest period of time in the NHL. I don't think it was in all sports, but certainly in the NHL, between a guy getting fired and a guy getting hired in the history of the league, which, listen, I mean, Jim Montgomery had two good years with the Bruins until the end of the season. They all both ended very disappointingly, especially that first one. The first one was such a bad ending that it almost, if you didn't win a cup in the next couple of years, like, that was going to be held over your head forever. And I think that even winning a round against Toronto wasn't quite enough. They didn't want to commit to him. Or there's an alternate theory out there now. Was he a lame duck coach? Did they make him an offer? And did he say, you know what? I think I can do better than this. I think I can find a better spot than this. I think I can get a better contract than what you're offering me right now. I just got to shoot my way out of town. If I can get out of here, if I can get out of Boston, if I can get fired, then I know I got 5 years at whatever money coming to me at St. Louis, because I got a relationship with those guys out there. They love me. I love them. They don't like their current head coach. It's perfect. And what they're offering me here in Boston, not quite at the same level of what they want to give me in St. Louis. So if I shoot my way out of town, and I turn down their offers, maybe I can get fired and then I can go do what I want to do over in St. Louis. I'll tell you what, I tend to not really believe in these conspiracies, but this one seems to have a little juice to me, I think.
So I'll play along. How did he get every player on his team to play more poorly than they normally play?
Good question. I don't know. I'm not in the room.
Like, Swayman gets a new 8-year deal, and he's like, hey, I need a favor. Can you give up between 5 and 7 goals every game?
He was calling Swayman like, hold out, man. Come on. Don't take that stupid deal. You're better than that, Jeremy. Come on. Don't bow down to these guys. You know, just encouraging him not to shot down.
Hey,
and
Lindholm.
You know what? Skip camp, too. Don't come to camp. Blow everything off. And don't come here until you held out for every last penny.
And Lindholm, I know you just signed a massive deal, and you probably want to get off on the right foot with your boy Pasta, and they paired you together, and some people were comparing you to Bergeron, but I'm going to need you to slow play it for a while. You can do that after I leave, but I need you to slow play it. That's the one. Do I think he thought there was a chance he had an opportunity there? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mean, hell, he said once a blue, always a blue.
Right.
Like, he still had the attire ready to go.
Arrested Development.
And he bragged.
I just blew myself.
Excuse me?
You never seen Arrested Development?
No.
Where the guy, Tobias, joins the Blue Man Group? And he puts the blue makeup on, and he's like, did you make it in the Blue Man Group? He goes, no, I'm afraid I just blew myself.
Okay, I'm glad you clarified that.
Well, if you knew the show, then you would have known that. Anyways.
Do you think every listener knows the show?
Probably, yes.
Okay.
Every single one.
I'm the only person who hasn't seen it.
Yeah. So also, Jim Montgomery would make a good blue man if he ever joined Blue Man Group.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the head for it.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a good bald head.
100%.
And they get a good hockey coach. I already saw some people on the Twitch chat, like F. Monty. I'm kind of rooting for him.
I'm definitely rooting for him.
And I don't know if – so I watched last night post-game, I think it was post-game, in front of the Blues backdrop and the whole thing. He's like, before I start, I want to talk about how much I basically love everybody here and they're better people than where – now, I added in my brain than where I used to be.
Right.
Like, people I trust, and they're really good at their jobs. And you know, he's names that I've never heard of. I'm assuming they're like assistant GMs and cap guys and who knows what they are. But real smart guy. He does a great job. Like, am I wrong to read into that it's a little bit of a shot back this way?
No.
Okay. Because that's 100% how I took it. And I do believe that if you have that knowledge of there is probably a friendly landing spot open to you. And if you remember, this wasn't the only place. There was speculation that Montreal, St. Louis, Pittsburgh.
Other teams would be interested.
Like 4 or 5 teams might be interested right away.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have that in your back pocket, it certainly makes it easier to do everything he did. To turn down a contract extension. Right. Because I'm pretty sure the Bruins weren't offering a 5-year contract extension. They barely wanted him.
I doubt it, yeah.
Right? And I don't even know what the money would have been, but the 5 years of security.
I believe him when they say there were offers made.
Sure.
I believe Sweeney when he says that. I don't think he just made that
up. Was
that
a raise?
But maybe not.
Might not have even been a raise.
It might not have been 3 years. It might have been 2 years, you know?
It's, or 1 year. We go year to year. Who knows? Yeah. But it's easier to turn those types of things down when you think you have at least one opportunity and maybe multiple opportunities. It's easier. I was just talking to Scott McLaughlin in the hallway about this. It's probably easier to poke Pasta and to poke Marchand and to say some of the things he said and do some of the things he did when you have nothing. You feel like you have nothing to lose.
Right.
I'm going to land on my skates somewhere, baby.
Yeah.
Right.
And what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to fire me?
Right.
If I want to get fired?
You mean the best that could happen?
You bench David Pasternak.
Right.
You have public blow-ups on the bench with Brad Marchand. You bench Charlie McAvoy. You talk about him after that. If I had a shot like that, I'd be shooting all the time. I don't know what's wrong with this guy. You know, that's the type of behavior you have, which we all thought, and maybe there's some truth to it, that you do when you're out of options and you're fighting for your job and you're just, I need anything. I'm throwing everything at the wall hoping something will stick. Or it's, you know, they might not like this. This might help me get out of town a little bit faster. And you know what? I got a 5-year deal waiting for me in St. Louis.
We misread that. At the time, I think we thought it was the actions of a desperate man. It was the opposite. It was the actions of a man with nothing to lose.
Yeah, nothing to lose.
And that's what made him dangerous.
And something to gain, maybe, by being cut loose from here.
Do you believe there was tampering? Do you believe there was a pre-anything meeting, wink, nod?
1,000% I do, yes.
I'm not sure I believe
that. You don't?
I'm not sure.
I think that in all sports, there's that type of stuff all the time.
Oh, I
do I think
too.
They sat down and had a formal meeting and hashed out the contract? No.
But
I do think that they talked about it, that they went through channels with each other.
Like his agent talked to a guy in their organization.
100%,
like, hey,
I think so.
By
chance,
if he became available, if the craziest thing happened and he became available, would you guys be interested? Yeah, we'd probably be interested. Mm-hmm. And we'd probably have significant interest.
Right.
Five winks.
Right.
How yeah. much interest?
Because I do think it's a little too quick and convenient and good for him. And literally good for him. It's good for him and good for him. I think he got screwed. If you didn't want him to be the former coach of the Bruins, you should have given him an extension in the summer yep. that was worthy of him. Because mm-hmm. clearly he didn't think it was worthy. And that so some of that is on the Bruins. I don't think the Bruins wanted him. I think that's the be-all, end-all sort of...
The players or the
management?
Because I think the players liked him.
You couldn't tell from the way they played.
No, it's true. But I believe him when he says, yeah, I'm getting texts from guys on the team. I believed McAvoy, even though he was kind of stumbled over his words. But I believed all those guys when they talked about how he let Monty down, and I do think they like playing for him. I think they liked him.
Yeah, well, then you shouldn't have shown up out of shape, and you Agreed. Shouldn't have hit the skates on the season sucking
yeah.
if you actually liked the guy. Agreed. Actions matter in this world. But I don't really think Sweeney and Neely really needed him back, wanted him back.
Yeah.
They
didn't seem too busted up about firing him.
Everybody thought they were going to can him last summer if he didn't advance, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So once I continue to say that, like once you've thought about the divorce is coming. At some point, the divorce is coming. And they want to divorce him at some point. So he landed on his feet with a hot new team.
Yep. And they are strutting around right now, knocking off the New York Rangers and talking all about it.
By the way, I feel better about that if I'm a Blues fan than I felt about Sacco's debut.
Sacco, they won two straight.
Yeah, they won.
Right.
The first one, they won.
Yes.
Now they've won two straight. Mm-hmm. I'm saying the first game, who had a better
reactionary beating
performance.
Utah, I agree with you. Yeah, yeah, that's true. I'd agree with that,
But
too.
Now that they've got two and maybe three, okay, now the ball's rolling. Maybe Sacco's doing something.
Yeah, well, now they got to play a real team tonight, so we'll see about that. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Dan Ball, get you caught up on what's trending. And when we come back, week 12 in the books in the NFL, we'll take a look at who is a contender, who is a pretender, and we'll get to your phone calls as well. Here's Dan with what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up on what's trending on WEEI. Two nights and two wins for the Boston Celtics. They cruised to a 126-94 win against the Clippers last night at TD Garden. Six players were in double digits in scoring, including Kristaps Porzingis in his first game back from injury. He scored 16 points on 6 of 12 shooting. And after the game, Porzingis was a man a few words when speaking to the media.
I was itching to get back out there with this team after winning a championship, you know, and it was a good beginning. Good first game back.
Celtics winners with 6 in a row and 8 of their last 9, a trend the Bruins are looking to continue. After two nights off, the Bees are back in action tonight as they take on Jake DeBrusk in the Vancouver Canucks tonight at TD Garden. Puck drop is set for 7 p.m. Jeremy Swayman will start in net for the Bees coming off of a win against Detroit. Boston plays 4 of their next 5 games at home beginning this evening. The Patriots, meanwhile, return to the practice field today in preparation for their game on Sunday against the Colts at Gillette Stadium. Head coach Jerod Mayo spoke to the media earlier today, addressed the Jabril Peppers situation after he was removed from the commissioner's exempt list yesterday. Here's what he said.
He's off the list. I anticipate him being able to practice. At some point in time, we'll get to that bridge when we get there.
And finally, as discussed by the guys a few moments ago, MLB Network's John Morosi reported that the Red Sox are one of 5 teams to submit an offer to star outfielder Juan Soto, the others being the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers, and the Blue Jays. Folks, in celebration of Awaken 180's 10-year anniversary, all consultations booked now through December 15th will be free. Reserve yours today. Awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Dan Ball. More WEEI Afternoons with Arcand and Hart coming up.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Up after this.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
More of Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Bears had a successful try yesterday against the Vikings. Here it is. And it's Ravens ball, Isaiah Likely, and that's it. He's gone 7-2, and he's thrown 22 touchdown passes and zero interceptions.
We like having him.
We sure do. Quick meeting between John and Jim. Harbaugh.
That's how it ended last night. John ends up being the winner of the Harbowl with the Ravens topping the Chargers 30-23. Pretty good game, as the Chargers did need a bit of a miracle even to get back in it within that one score. But I thought that the Ravens defense looked great against Justin Herbert, who got off to a very strong start, I thought, and then petered out there in the second half. And the Ravens offense is just nasty, man. I mean, they are really, really tough to stop. Lamar Jackson getting in the end zone. He threw a couple of touchdown passes as well. Derrick Henry did not get in the end zone, but he ran for 140 yards against a very strong Chargers run defense and pass defense. They had no answers, and I think that the Ravens now at 8-4, with a win over the Chargers to drop them to 7-4. That was a meeting between two of the better teams in the AFC. I don't want to say they're the best teams in the AFC, but they are two of the better ones up there, along with the Bills, Chiefs, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, ironically enough, another 8-win team. Baltimore now an 8-win team, which brings us to today's edition of Contenders and Pretenders. So let's go ahead and start with the teams that we saw last night, Ravens and Chargers, both contenders.
I think the Ravens are a legit contender. I think the Chargers are a pretender.
Really?
I don't think that's a Super Bowl contending team. They're a good team, good solid team, and I give Jim Harbaugh credit. He's sort of that modern-day Parcells. He brings you credibility, stability immediately, and I just don't know talent-wise if they measure up. Like, I know fans and little meme clips all over social media are killing Quentin Johnston, their first round wide receiver, who stinks.
Yeah.
He can't catch the football.
He had a sure touchdown, that crosser.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that would have been he could have done cartwheels into the end zone if he had caught that, but he did not.
So I think they're a pretender. They're
five targets, zero catches.
Light years ahead of the Patriots.
It's like Patriots wide receiver draft.
Said that in the crossover with the end of that second quarter when the Ravens go for it on their own end, on 4th-and-1, then go right down the field and score on that pretty touchdown pass down the left side. And then Herbert gets the Chargers in place with 2 seconds left to Fitzy's guy, Ladd McConkey, for a field goal. That was like, there's no way the Patriots could do either of those things
True. Yeah.
And that showed me, like, okay, those are the haves in the league and the have-nots. But no, Chargers, I think, are a pretender. And by the way, 3-0 now for John over Jim in their meetings for their career. John Harbaugh's team is a contender.
Okay. I tend to agree with you. I think the Chargers are good. Contending for a Super Bowl this year, though, I'm not quite there. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers? They're 8-3.
I think they're a pretender. I think this is, A, what Mike Tomlin does. Good, not great. Sort of the story of the bulk of his career when he didn't win the Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I have faith. Like, can I really have faith in the quarterback position? Russell Wilson, like, is he really back to where I'm going to pick him to beat, let's say, Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or one of these guys in a key playoff game? No, I can't do it. Their defense, I think, is pretty good.
Their defense is the best in the AFC.
Their wide receivers are nuts. We sort of talked about that the other day. The latest generation of crazy wide receivers there. So I think I would put the Chargers and them on the same level.
Okay.
Like, to me, that would be a good opening round playoff game, those two, to earn the right to then advance to the next round and play the real contenders. But I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are a pretender.
All right. I don't think we have to ask you about the Chiefs. We know they're contenders.
Absolutely.
How about the Buffalo Bills?
By the way, if the Chiefs weren't the Chiefs, they'd be pretenders. But they're the Chiefs.
If the Chiefs didn't have Mahomes, right.
If they weren't Mahomes, sure. Reed, and the two-time defending Super Bowl champions, and
if they weren't that, they wouldn't be 10-1 this year.
No, I know, but if I just based it on a team that had that record in those types of games, I'd say you're the biggest fraud pretender in football. But it is Patrick Mahomes, it is Andy Reid, it is the Chiefs, so they're contenders. Who'd you say next?
Buffalo.
Buffalo is an absolute contender, and this is just because I'm a homer simp for Josh Allen. I love him. I don't love their coach. I don't feel good about them. So we got Allen and Jackson still trying to get over. Not Allen Jackson.
Not Allen Jackson. Singer,
but Josh Allen.
Or the attorney for Karen Reed either.
And Lamar Jackson trying to get over the hump, right? They have to get over the Mahomes, get to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl hump. They're really good. They're MVP candidates. I think Josh Allen is having a special season potentially, and I think Josh Allen could absolutely put together a Super Bowl run.
Buffalo is the hottest team in the AFC right now with a six-game win streak going. I don't think there's too many. There's no other contenders in the AFC, do you think? Houston Texans, Denver Broncos, the other seven-win teams, do you consider either of them contenders?
The only one that I think is a weird contender if they somehow snuck in.
Miami?
Nope. No, but
Cincinnati.
Close. Yes. I just think
Cincinnati stuck on at 4-7 right now.
Yes,
there, so
but when I
it would take some doing, but yeah.
Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase doing their special things, and I say, if they made the playoffs, could they not do that a couple weeks in a row? Like, they've done it twice to the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
They've put up, whatever, 500 yards just to that one connection. They're a team that I just wonder, could they get hot at the absolute right time? So I would put them as a sneaky, don't want to play him kind of contender pretender.
Okay, let's go over to the NFC then, where there are the two hottest teams in the NFL are the Detroit Lions and the Philadelphia Eagles. Are they both contenders?
Absolutely. You know, could Philly implode?
Philly's won 7 in a row, Detroit's won 9 in a row.
I have less faith in Philly because I think the coach is weird. And
Detroit's got a weird coach, too.
Yeah,
he's a good coach, but he's a weirdo.
Weird coach that works for them and their city and their team and everything. Have you read some of the numbers that the Jahmyr Gibbs combo
Sonic and Knuckles you're talking about?
Has put up. Like, they're doing historic things at the running back position there.
Yeah.
And I think that's rooted in, A, nobody likes the pick. Like, what are you doing? Jahmyr Gibbs with the whatever high pick it was, 12th pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, but that is rooted in offensive line, Campbell, what we believe in. We're, like, I think they are all in. The Eagles have maybe the best player in football right now, Saquon Barkley, and a boatload of talent. But I still don't totally dismiss when the going gets tough, are Sirianni, Hurts on the same page and capable of overcoming adversity when the metal hits the road there, the rubber.
When the metal hits the road.
I don't know. Some road, some metal,
like
some
a
rubber.
Car accident.
Yeah, maybe that's
there.
What they're going to have metal hit the road instead of rubber. That's the
All
problem.
Right. Moving on down the standings, the Minnesota Vikings, contenders or pretenders?
Pretenders. Nice season. Like, they're in that next tier. Like, that would be a fun tournament. If there was a secondary tournament for Pittsburgh, the Chargers, the Vikings, I think that'd be a fun little tournament you could put together.
Okay.
But none of them are with the big boys.
Green Bay, 8-3.
They are young and they are dangerous. I really think that in the right run, if they get hot, they like Josh Jacobs has been a nice addition to that backfield, just churning out another Josh Jacobs season. They have all the wide receivers, which Brady says is great because you don't have to feed anybody. You got all these young mouths and they're all just ready to eat like baby birds.
Yep.
I like Jordan Love. Could I see them go on a run? Sure. I'll put them in the, can I have the next tier though?
I don't know. It's pretender and contender.
Okay, pretender.
All right, they're pretenders.
It's not tiers. Wrong show, Hart.
How
it's
about
not tier Tuesday on Jones and Keefe?
How about the suddenly reeling Washington Commanders who have lost 3 in a row?
Pretenders. Absolutely pretenders. And they never should have been contenders. Rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Did you really think Jaden Daniels was going to turn everything around that quickly? Plus, I think guys like Cliff Kingsbury and Dan Quinn, they need to prove that they are like coaching horses you can ride in the big game kind
Agreed.
Of thing. So, pretender.
All right. Anybody else in the NFC that you consider a contender? Seattle, Atlanta, Arizona, Tampa Bay, the Rams, the Niners.
Can I put the Rams in that Bengals category? Whatever category I created. They're pretenders, but pretenders that could get hot. They have the quarterback. They have the receivers. And you know how much I like their young defensive guys.
Mm-hmm. You don't put the Niners in that category?
No, not really.
Hmm.
Did you see the numbers on the Niners? So,
which numbers?
Their plus total yardage, the amount of total yards they are plus on the season, is up there with they're like between the Lions and the Bills or something. If you look at the list, the whole list, the records and the power rankings match the list, except the 49ers are way up top and not winning football games and aren't a good football team. Like, it's weird. So, no, I don't. The coach, I don't trust. The team just feels like this is a jinxed season for them.
It does feel that way with all the injuries.
I feel like the Rams are coming out the other side of their issues, and they could get hot at the right time. If they're in, I wouldn't want to play them.
Okay. They currently have the same record. So just to recap, there are five contenders in the NFL right now. So saith Andy Hart. They are the Detroit Lions, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills, and the Baltimore Ravens.
So what Super Bowl matchup are you rooting for? Because I get an easy one.
I'm rooting for Buffalo-Detroit.
Absolutely.
Buffalo-Detroit is what I'd like to see. Or Baltimore-Detroit. I'd take Baltimore in the Super Bowl, too.
I'd take
Jackson
Lamar.
Getting one, I think, would be cool.
But the whole story of Buffalo has never won, Lions have never won.
Yeah.
I think Dan Campbell is as likable as anyone, and Josh Allen is as likable as anyone. Mm. So I can root for both of the... It's a Super Bowl where I guess I'll probably pick somebody at some point during the two-week lead-up. But I'd probably go in happy with either team winning it, right?
Probably, yeah. Which means it's going to be Chiefs-Eagles, which is just Murphy's Law at this point.
And then I'm rooting for...
The stadium to collapse like in that Batman movie where Heinz Ward's running and the whole stadium collapses behind them.
No, we don't want that.
No, we don't? Okay. What are you rooting for then?
I don't know. That's a good... I think I'd be rooting for history. I think every Patriots fan hates me right now, which right now, I've been hating you for decades, Hart. I think I'd be rooting for the Chiefs and Mahomes and history and all-time greatness and Andy Reid and everything they could accomplish.
I'll tell you what, I hate the Eagles more than I hate the Chiefs.
Me too.
I've always hated the Eagles. So like, I definitely...
The Eagles fans were douches in Minnesota.
They were.
Absolute douches. They made my son cry. I'll never
Did
forget
they really?
That, for that. Yeah, kind of. I mean, he was kind of being a baby, but...
Oh. Did they say something specific to him?
Yeah, they were like chanting in his face or whatever.
Okay. Well. Yeah. He's got to toughen up a little bit. I mean, that's part of being a fan there.
He was a little younger. He was emotional. His team lost. He's a pink hatter because his whole life has basically been winning, and he goes to the Super Bowl, and they lose.
It sounds like they're building character. That's all I
hear. That's right. Character. Well done, Ball.
617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones. Noah is down in Miami, Florida. Hello, Noah. How you doing?
What's going on, guys? First, I just want to wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving if I don't speak to you then.
Right back at you, friend.
Perfect. Just want to talk a little bit about the Pats game on Sunday. Me, I'm in Miami here. I was at the game. So I just want to know, who do we think we blame for the tackles being out there? Because either false starts or holding on every play. That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing, Drake May, I think he has great upside. But right now, how much better would it be if we just send out Jacoby Brissett? He sat behind him for the rest of the year. Because this offensive line, he's going to hurt his confidence. It happened with the Tagovailoa kid down in Miami. He turns into Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady whenever we play against them, by the way.
So right, that's true. Up. Yes, he does. Noah, what do you think would be worse for his self-esteem? If he continues to have a tough time behind the O-line or if he gets benched?
It's a great point, actually.
Thanks.
So I think, probably his self-esteem if he gets benched. But now we also have to have the risk of injury because if you go down the schedule as well here, I mean, you're going to see some pass rushers who they're not going to be so friendly. Bosa, I mean, Von Miller could heat up at any second.
I guess so. Thanks for the call, Noah. Appreciate it.
That Tua kid in Miami, when his confidence was down.
Yeah, that kid down in Miami, which is where he is.
and he's a kid,
that's true. Thank you for the call, Noah. We appreciate it. Nice to be reaching the younger demos.
Absolutely.
You know?
Call anytime. I thought that was a good call.
It was a good call.
Now, the question that I want to answer is the first one.
Take that over Stephen Fall River. Call any day.
Ooh, shot at Steve. Call in to defend yourself, Steve.
He already called the midday show. He can't call anymore today.
Oh, is that the rule?
That's the rule I just made up.
Yeah. Okay. who's to blame for the tackles out there false starting?
Elliot Wolf.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Jerod Mayo told you on the Greg Hill show, without telling you, that I have no other tackles. What do you want me to do? The guys on the practice squad clearly aren't ready. Your big guy, Caleb Jones, clearly isn't ready. I have no one else to put out there. I had one guy, so I put him out there. I can't replace all of them. And that is 100% on the debacle that was created by Elliot Wolf. He doesn't have any options to turn to because everybody agrees Vidarian Lowe should have been benched.
Yep.
Ross Tucker, he's our expert witness at middling level offensive line play, right? He says he's got to be benched. He's not going to get better. You don't fix that. There's no curing that. There's no coaching that. He agreed with Gerard Mayo, basically. He said it in different words, but he basically said when Gerard sends these guys out there, there's nothing he can do, and there's nothing he can do except put somebody else in. There's nobody else to put in. That's Elliot Wolf's problem.
Yeah, here's Gerard Mayo saying that, by the way. In case you missed it yesterday morning, he was asked this question by Chris Curtis about if he had a different roster, would he coach differently? Listen.
Gerard, I just interesting because I feel like you may be coaching differently if you had pieces to sub in for guys that were making mistakes. Is that just a fair blanket statement without calling anybody out in particular?
That's a fair assessment.
Mm. Now, that's, first of all, a shot at Vedarian Lowe, but it's really a shot at the depth on this team and the lack of it on the offensive line. And sometimes, you know, injuries are part of that. Or guys quitting the team after 2 weeks in the season.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Or just guys not being good. Your draft picks not being able to play or move from right to left tackle or whatever the particular problem is. They've had basically every problem on the offensive line this year. They've had injuries to David Andrews. They had a guy quit the team. They've had guys who they picked off the various practice squads and the waiver wire who just didn't work out. It's been a bleep show. I mean, it's been a bleep show on the offensive line this year.
Isn't that Murphy's Law?
It is. Like, anything that can go wrong has gone wrong. Yeah.
And you started crappy, and you gave karma the ability to screw you, and karma's screwing you. Like, it's going to go wrong. Murphy is screwing you, and there's nothing he can do about it, but he's the one that's in the crosshairs.
Right.
Because some people do believe that falls on the coach. That's an undisciplined football team. Mm-hmm. What, you know, he's got to be better. That would never happen under Bill Belichick. I kind of agree, because A, Dante Scarnecchia would have somebody else ready to go.
Yeah.
One of the greatest things Dante ever did in his time here wasn't coach the starters. It was prepare these developmental practice squad
Ted
guys.
Ted Karras is of the world and these other guys. Right. Maybe it's a bad example. He wasn't practice squad, but I know what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. Lower level guys that you're like, oh, he came in and the wheels didn't fall off. He's capable. Now, maybe there's a hint of Scott Peters there. Should Scott Peters have your guy, the mountain of a man, Caleb Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Should he have him at least ready to compete on an NFL field? I don't know. I don't know how bad that guy is. I've never seen him play or practice, what his skills are. But I would also say
he's bigger than Trent Brown.
Oh, yeah, he's massive.
Like, he's the biggest player maybe ever.
And, and I would argue, again, this is Elliot Wolf's area. Why is he here? If he can't play, if he's not good enough to play when the wheels are falling off the starters, then get somebody here who can.
Good point.
Who you'd at least try. Now, I do think Gerard Mayo said today that Caden Wallace is getting real close day by day, or I forgot exactly. He's on injured reserve. He could be coming back. He was the Penn State right tackle that Elliot Wolf tells us. They all told, oh, he could play left tackle. So, but he's sounds like at least a couple weeks away from being an option for Lowe. So Elliot Wolf, you push Gerard Mayo out there without enough tools in his toolbox. That's the reality.
Yeah, that's what happened. And he's now starting to make that known in so many ways. That's a fair assessment. It's basically, you know, my roster's not very good. It's almost like, you ever read The Far Side, the comic strip?
Yeah.
Remember that one where it's like a bear and he's in the sights of a gun? And it's like he's pointing at the bear next to him. He's like, yeah, how about this one over here? That's basically what Gerard Mayo is doing.
That's
he's the bear pointing at the at Elliot Wolf, the other bear, trying to get the hunter to point the gun over there. And I think that's sort of where we're at right now. I don't know.
Beauty of the internet.
Yeah, right? See, isn't that it's basically what Gerard Mayo is doing. If you know that comic, then that's it. But I think that this is sort of what it comes down to now. As we heard from Adam Schefter and other people now, is this going to be something? Is this season so bad? Are the Crafts going to look at this season as such a disappointment that they decide, okay, someone's got to pay for this? And in the offseason, we're going to have to make it right? I mean,
absolutely.
I think.
Now, I don't know what level.
Crafts started the year saying we're not expecting too many wins this season, but even so, you take the lumps week after week and end up with four wins and some ugly losses and not really a linear improvement. And I think those are the questions you have to ask.
And I'm not necessarily calling for this guy's job. I'm not an expert in this area. But to me, the easy one there is Scott Peters. The offensive line, we didn't have guys ready to play. The offensive line looks bad on the field. The offensive line was a problem all year. I think Scott Peters is an easy fall guy.
Yeah,
you know, Chris Carter says you got to have a fall guy. I feel like Scott Peters and Tyler Hughes. Those two positions, feels like the position coaches, the wide receiver position coach, Tyler Hughes, and the offensive line coach, Scott Peters, could pay the price.
Yeah, they probably could.
Fair or not?
Definitely not, by the way. Okay. I don't think that's fair at all. To throw this all on the position coaches? You know, you got a problem with personnel. These guys maybe aren't great at coaching up practice squad players and making them ready to be NFL starters, but that's not necessarily their fault or in their job description. You know, like, they're not given much to work with here at all. And I think that in general, that's a big ask. And to throw all that on them and say, hey, you know, we really expect you to take these guys who aren't really NFL players and
right.
do what Dante Scarnecchia used to do, one of the legendary position coaches ever, is just, I mean, in their first year, that's a lot to ask, and then to punish them for it, I think, is really sort of whistling past the real problem.
But it's what they've been doing. So
yep.
Dave DeGuglielmo was in here post-Scar or between Scar eras.
Yeah.
They got rid of him.
They won a Super Bowl, and then the next year they got rid of him. Yeah.
Billy Yates, Adrian Clem, Matt Patricia, if you remember, was handling some of the offensive line duties.
How could I forget?
Now Scott Peters. Mm-hmm. It's like, is it always a them problem, or are you not giving them anything to work with? And I think it's a very fair question.
Yeah, 100%. 617-779-7937. That's what's going on in the NFL. Week 12 in the books, and with all that's going on in Jacksonville. Not contenders, by the way, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Nope.
There is a report out from Diana Rossini that has got everybody on Bill Watch all a flutter. We'll get to that next.
Now, more of Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, it's Christian Arcand, it's Andy Hart. You can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker. Just say play 93.7 WEEI. You can watch on Twitch, and also you can watch on YouTube. We always neglect the YouTube. We're at Twitch. We're also streaming live on YouTube as well. Just search for WEEI. You can subscribe. You can do that as well on the Twitch channel.
You got a mouse in your pocket?
Jump in the... what?
Your host won. You're the one neglecting YouTube.
We, the show, as in we, as a program.
Yeah, but I count on you for all these little things.
You count on me for everything. I understand that, Andy. That's fine. I'm talking about us as a team here. Jesus. I'm very well aware of the division of labor on this show. Please. Come on now. 617-779.
What are you laughing at in there?
793-7.
I love it.
Got him going back there.
He did. He had like a hacking fit.
He certainly did. Bill Belichick is on the market, as we all know. He has a million media jobs, but he wants to get back into coaching. And Diana Rossini, who has these scoops, is hot on the trail of a potential destination as we get to this week's edition of Bill Watch.
Bill Watch.
Oh, yeah. We got to record ourselves running down the beach in, like, red bathing suits, I think.
Shirtless?
Well, yeah. I don't know. I'll have the bikini. I have the boobs bouncing.
Or are you,
Dan,
like...
If Dan wasn't impressed before...
He is now. By the production quality?
Yes.
Do you know how hard we worked on that, Dan?
Stiz, answer a question for me. What the hell did I get myself into here?
Bill Watch, baby.
Bill Watch, where we tell you about where Bill Belichick may be landing as a head coach. Here's Diana Rossini's tweet from yesterday morning, which we completely blew off because it was a Patriots Monday, and Bill Belichick no longer a Patriot. But Rossini tweeted this. She said, as we wait to find out what the Jaguars do next, keep in mind Bill Belichick wants to be a head coach again, and the Jaguars should be viewed as a potential destination. A lot of beaches in Jacksonville. Actually, are there even? I don't know. Are there beaches in Jacksonville?
I'm sure there are, but it's kind of northern Florida.
Yeah, it's up by like the...
I did not enjoy my Super Bowl experience there, so...
I heard it was the worst of all time.
By far.
I heard it was definitely the worst Super Bowl ever.
Awful.
From a media perspective.
They should never have hosted a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Rossini, I'm told it's highly unlikely that a partnership with Trent Baalke would take place, per sources. So, two ways to read this. Number one, she's stumping for Bill Belichick and saying, hey, you know, Jacksonville, if you're moving on from your head coach, there's a head coach right here. And the only problem is that Trent Baalke probably wouldn't want to work with him, which could also mean, hey, the Jaguars suck. Trent Baalke, you're out of here. Belichick's taking over both roles. What do you think about that?
Well, so this is sort of a follow-up report to the Florio speculation that said Bill would work with Baalke because they worked together with the Jets early in Baalke's career or something.
Okay, yeah,
he sort of tied them together somehow and made that almost like a positive, that the owner wouldn't give full control to Bill. They could make some sort of an agreement there. So this is a follow-up to that. This is also apparently, according to the Twitch chat, and the Twitch chat is always right.
Always.
Rossini is sort of stealing a Breer take from earlier this season that was similar.
Oh,
or
like
something.
The beginning of the year?
I guess.
I sort of remember that, yeah.
Okay.
Breer did bring him
up. Whatever,
yeah.
I don't really care. We're just talking about it on the radio, so.
Right.
You know,
we talk about Burt Breer plenty. Fine.
Yeah. We give Burt Breer credit for plenty when he comes up with stuff. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're just talking about this. I hate Bill going to Jacksonville on so many levels. Does he like Trevor Lawrence?
No.
Because he's stuck with
him. Well, maybe he does. I don't know. He
that
might
was
like,
quick.
He might like Trevor Lawrence. No! I know he doesn't like Mac Jones. He definitely doesn't like Mac. Trevor Lawrence was... Now, see, Trevor Lawrence might be in that sweet spot for Bill because he was a first overall pick.
Yep.
He was the hottest commodity coming out of... The hottest prospect coming out of college since Peyton Manning, basically.
Generational.
And he's fallen on hard times.
Yeah.
So maybe this is the kind of guy... Well, Bill's my lifeline. He's the way I get back into being that quarterback again. You know, he's not... I don't think that Trevor Lawrence right now... is walking around like his bleep doesn't stink, you know, because he's definitely been humbled here the last 2 years. And that for that rookie year that he had with what's-his-face was terrible. So I think he'd probably appreciate having a head coach, and he might fall in line. I don't know if that's what Bill wants, but I think that could work. I don't think that'd be out of the question.
This, you've stumbled into a good one here. I like this one. So this might actually buff up Bill's reputation.
Right.
A little bit. So like Jared Goff, when Sean McVay arrived in L.A., Sean McVay was a former number one pick who stunk under Jeff Fisher. Immediately, he gets better with Sean McVay. So Sean McVay gets that credit. If people have decided that Trevor Lawrence kind of stinks or is kind of overrated, and then Bill can turn it around, Bill's going to get the credit.
Yeah.
And that's a way of sort of answering the Brady stuff, all of that crap.
Brady stuff, the Mac Jones
stuff?
Yeah.
So... that's interesting. Now, he has to like him. He has to think he's capable of doing that, right? Because if he just stinks, then we're both screwed here.
Right. I can't remember him ever saying anything about Trevor Lawrence.
I feel like he liked him coming out. I feel like there were, because he wasn't in that world back then, I feel like he made positive, maybe even when he was at Clemson, maybe he made positive comments like a year earlier before he was coming out, just flippantly sort of observing football. I feel like there's positive comments from Bill about Trevor Lawrence. My issue with the Jaguars is I don't find them worthy of Bill Belichick. They're the Jaguars. You're Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
Your stadium stinks. Your area stinks. You're never going to win anything. You never won anything.
Was the Buccaneers worthy of Tom Brady?
I think more than the Jaguars.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think very little of the Jaguars franchise.
I think very little of the Buccaneers franchise.
I think Tampa is better than Jacksonville.
Mm.
I think...
a better place to live, you mean, or...
just in general, yeah.
I'd rather go to the organization's better.
No, I mean like to live, the locale.
Okay.
I'd rather go to Tampa than Jacksonville.
All right, I don't know about that, but I mean, it's fine.
And like the logo, the colors, the whole thing. I think very little of the Jaguars. They did that two-tone thing for a while. They always have these weird updates. None of it. You got to cover half your seats in your stadium. You got a pool. They got a pirate ship. Pirate ship is cooler than just a pool by the side of the stadium.
Yeah, the pirate ship is cool.
So I'm not saying that the Bucks were like the Cowboys, like this marquee, but they're better than the Jags. I would put the Jags near the bottom. I think Atlanta would be ahead of the Jags, in my opinion, in last year that was his rumor. But
yes.
I don't love that. I want Bill to go somewhere interesting, instantly fun, instantly there's expectations. Dallas, Philly, even the Giants. Even though they stink, the Giants are special because they're special to him.
Mm-hmm.
NFC East, all of that. They beat him in the Super Bowl. Now he joins them.
Heritage franchise.
Yeah, that whole
league,
thing.
Right? Yeah.
I don't like anything about him going to the Jags. Feels like it's just a place for him. It's like the... you know, before he goes to the home, the final home, it's like the assisted living.
Yeah.
That's what the Jags his assisted living.
It's kind of appropriate, isn't it?
Isn't that? But I don't want it to be
that point in his career. Yeah.
I don't want it to be that. I want him to go to a place where it's like his last hurrah. Him and the boys are going on a trip to Vegas. And like, this is the last exciting run for Bill Belichick. Although Matt Patricia will be there. Did you see the freaking email last night?
Yes.
That he's holding up on screen and it says from Matt Patricia.
Questions on Manning Castle.
Good Lord. Boy. That guy really is like his secretary.
I know. Or like his stenographer.
Or whatever. I mean, he's with him on the sideline at LSU talking. Mm-hmm. Like he's just like his right-hand man at all times.
He's got the papers ready to go for him. Dan has Bill Belichick on Trevor Lawrence. What do we have here?
Yeah, a couple years ago we commented on Lawrence. I think it was his second year in the league when he said this. Definitely a good level of execution there. They did a good job last week mixing in different varieties of passes, quick throws, blah, 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 blah. He's pretty good at all of them and continues to get better. I think he's had a good year, and I think he'll be a solid NFL player. Maybe great.
Oh,
maybe great.
Maybe great.
Not many people are saying that anymore.
Not the right head coach.
Yeah,
if he makes him great, make Belichick great again. Make Lawrence great again, baby.
MABA. Could be. MABA. It doesn't really roll off the tongue quite the same. 617-779-7937. There's Bill Watch for you. When we return, the Boston Celtics driving teams crazy in the NBA, blasting the LA Clippers last night, and Kristaps Porzingis back in our lives. We'll get to all of that with your phone calls next.